Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And there it is, the last day of the month of July.
That's it.
2018, never happened again.
Never happened again. Did you like your July?
Nah, it was okay. It wasn't that great.
No. You had, it seems that you did some very good but yet bad things. I heard something about, I was reading something about a rain stick issue in Europe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've ended up flooding Belgium.
Well, keep that thing under wraps. You pick that thing up. Strange things happened. A couple of notes here. I'll be on vacation next week. So there's no show next week. And I just saw the weather in Seoul when I'm going to be arriving, when I'm landing, the day I get there, 103 degrees.
Sounds about right. A little humid, too. It's kind of muggy.
45%.
Oh, well, that's not bad.
Right. 103 and 45% is the equivalent of Florida at 93% with 93% humidity.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you're good to go then.
Yeah. Pretty happy about that. Well, let's talk about the markets. We're seeing that earnings are coming in. We're ramping through the high season of earnings, and they're better than expected, the most thought. About 80% of beating. And estimates are being trounced for the most part. 20% growth of earnings from a year ago period. And there's clearly demand because we see revenue is also doing pretty well in addition to that. So that's good news. And the tax cuts, of course, help profitability. And the buybacks helped profitability. However, just a little tarnish in the whole shine here is that there's a lot of talk about the outlook being concerning and blaming tariffs and trade wars. I don't know if this is the new weather or what's going on here or if it's true.
Well, nothing's really happened yet, but I guess it could be, which is what makes me think it's the new weather. But
there has been some tariffs that have been in place.
Yeah.
We have with Canada, Mexico, Canada, a chunk of them, China, Europe, a big bunch of tariffs both ways, bilaterally. Last week, we saw the small caps down for the week. The NASDAQ was down for the week. The S&P 500 and the Dow Jones Industrial was up, which you have to think about, aside from some of the other news items that we're going to talk about in a minute, that there was the possibility that there's this reversionary catch-up trade going on where the Dow Jones was lagging, the S&P was doing its thing, but the NASDAQ was really doing well. The small caps are really doing well. So maybe there's the idea that, hey, let's buy the stuff that's down to ramp it up right alongside of it.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, we've seen that many times before. You think that the Dow Jones seems to want to take the lead over the past couple of weeks, that there's less talk about tariffs now. We'll see how long that lasts, and I had some talk here. But the big thing that you've been seeing, at least I've been seeing, is there's always some kind of catchphrase that they got to put out there. You know, so markets in turmoil. You know, CNBC has that across the bottom of the screen. Or, you know, and then they have all sorts of really interesting news items that they're going to, oh, tonight we're preempting all of our programming because markets are in turmoil. Now the new one is tech stock carnage. Carnage is the new headline in talking
point. Carnage.
Carnage. We're seeing carnage. It's like, you know, you get this vision of tech stocks just strewn all over the street with blood on them all over the place, which is somewhat true. But
it looks like a reset to me. I mean, Facebook's huge pounding really just reset to where I bought it.
Yeah, I mean, right, exactly. You still made some money on it. You were stopped out of it. We'll talk about that in the game. But
yeah, I was stopped out, but now is another opportunity, looks like.
I don't know. I mean, they found some more stuff today. Here's the problem with Facebook. And, you know, the stock sunk by the most by market cap than any other stock in history in a one-day period.
Yes.
And, everybody was, oh, my God, what a surprise. And I started thinking about that and looking back at the notes from past conference calls. And management had been warning about this for some time.
Yeah.
They've been telling us that revenues are slowing, you know, that there was some concern about the extra expense that was going to be brought in to, you know, for for safety and protection and privacy issues and compliance and all the stuff. And even though the EPS and revenues were okay, they came out and said, listen, we're going to have a pretty significant drawdown in revenue from all the things that we put in place over the next foreseeable future. Months, years, I don't know how long it's going to be.
Foreseeable.
And that's what really started the downstroke. I mean, it was down about 9% on its earnings. But when that conference call came out, I was like, uh-oh, that thing just dropped to hell.
Well, I thought it was poorly handled, and you're going to ask me later what my column is for PC Magazine. That's what it's about.
Okay. Well, I'll ask you later. We're going to tease that. We'll talk about that a little bit later because, you know, this is not the first time that Facebook has poorly handled a situation like this. I don't think they handled the whole entire...
The key word is poorly... Keywords is poorly handled.
Yeah.
That's... Yeah.
So it's carnage due to poor handling.
Yeah. Very poorly handled.
Yeah. Let's get back on track for a second. Well, let's talk about... Well, we can talk about Facebook stock. I have a chart there on the site there. It talks about... went from about 220. This was the interesting thing. The move, if you see this over on DH Unplugged, episode number 418, you'll be able to see this chart. But if you look at this... I mean, in April, it bottomed at 152, 153, rode up in the face of all this Cambridge Analytica stuff, right. In the face of all of this going on, it rises from 152 to about 220.
Yeah.
In almost a straight line.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of concern about, okay, well, why is it rising? Well, it's a cash cow. You know, an economic slowdown is not really going to hurt them. Tariffs, what does that have to do with Facebook? You know, what does Facebook use for input products? They have nothing. They're a pure advertising play, generally speaking.
Yeah.
So I think that this was a safety trade, that there was
let's face reality. That run-up was ridiculous. There's totally no ridiculous reason for that. It wasn't like they were making tons of money every day. You know, this week we're making twice as much.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Crazy. So Facebook came down to about 169 that day. It was probably down to 167, 166. And then, of course, 2 days later, we start to see that return to, you know, people buying. They're saying, what a great opportunity. As you're saying now, a lot of people think it's a great opportunity. I still wonder how much higher we can get over the top of, let's say, still 180 is a pretty good number. But let's look at the chart. Top line is probably 185, 186, if you can draw a line across that. And there's a lot of the problem you also have is that this was a very crowded trade. You know, every portfolio had Facebook in it, whether you were an individual or maybe an individual that invested in ETFs. I mean, it was one of the largest stocks. So, you know, you have to start to unwind that a little bit. So we'll see how that goes. Going back to some of the things of the day, though, that I thought was really fascinating, I think we really need to explore this. So this tariff thing is in the news again. And it was about 9 o'clock this morning. All of a sudden I see the stock market futures start just flying higher. I'm looking at, where's the news? I don't see any news. I don't see anything going on. I know that the Fed was going to be testifying today, but it was too early to release their information. So that wasn't it. And what's going on? Oh, all right. So here's the news. Right before the market opened today, Treasury Secretary Mnuchin said that there's going to be a U.S. and China and Canada are going to restart trade talks. And everybody's like, oh, that's great. We're restarting trade talks and maybe we're going to, you know, end this ridiculous tariff and trade war issue. And markets went haywire on the upside. Then there was a problem confirming exactly what that meant. Was it an old statement? Was it something that he was saying that was just out of the blue? First of all, I got to tell you, if you give me a list of all the people that I want to trust in this administration in terms of any finance related, this guy is the least. You can't believe this guy.
Mnuchin or yeah, Trump?
Mnuchin.
Yeah, Mnuchin's weird, I have to say.
I mean, he says,
I don't know what to make of that guy.
He's like Larry Kudlow in a way, always thinking, you know, saying the positive. That's his job to a degree. Their job is to be somewhat of a cheerleader for the administration and for their policies and the economy in the U.S. and all that. I get that. But the problem is he says things that are just absolutely not only not true, they're from another universe. Now, we follow up at 3:50 p.m. with a headline. The S&P is ticking slightly lower following the report that the trade talks between the U.S. and China are not making any meaningful progress. This is a story from the Wall Street Journal. So less than 8 hours later, where we're going to restart these talks that can't be confirmed, we see that there's no change in the trade talks. Now, here's a follow-up to the follow-up. At 6:30 p.m., the trade talks are going well between the U.S. and China. And then the final follow-up on the follow-up, at 7:30 p.m. tonight, there's a news announcement that the U.S. may look to increase tariff rate to 25% from the 10% on $200 billion of China's imports. Now, how do you do business in an environment like this? Aside from just buying it and what the hell. But, I mean, if you're trying to follow any of this and understand any of this.
Buying it and what the hell is exactly what you have to do. Exactly. What are you going to do?
Right. What are you going to do? Buy it. What the hell? None of this is real anyway. We don't know if there's going to be a follow-up to this. That, oh, they didn't mean 25%. They meant 2.5%. The decimal was moved over to the wrong place.
Yeah. I could imagine that happening.
Do you ever recall this type of thing, these kinds of changes of commentary throughout the day at such a range of 9 o'clock in the morning saying that they're going to restart trade talks till 7:30 at night, that they're going to increase tariffs to 25%?
No, there's nothing like this. This is a very different.
Yep. All right, so let's get back to tech for a second. Tech is also having a hard time on the global basis as well. Not only did Facebook drop, I think, about $135 billion in that one day, Tencent,
yeah,
which is the Chinese? It's Chinese, isn't it? Or is it Japanese?
I think it's Chinese.
The Chinese gigantic tech firm lost $143 billion over the past month. So you have all these crowded trades that people are starting to say, maybe we should look to get out of this whole thing. So now on the heels of the news from Facebook, which is probably something that you have in your article, it seems that chief executive Mark Zuckerberg, the Zuck, was sued. Facebook and its chief CEO. They were sued on Friday in what could be the first of many lawsuits over a disappointing earnings announcement by the social media company that wiped out like $120 billion for that day. Now, so this is how it goes. So if the stock rides up for no reason, or maybe even I'll call it a pumping situation or lack of it, and then it drops, people get to sue for that?
I don't know what world we're living in, but apparently you can.
The complaint by shareholder James Kakoris in Manhattan federal court accused Facebook, Zuckerberg, and chief financial officer David Wenner of making misleading statements about or failing to disclose slowing revenue growth, falling operating margins, and a decline in active users. First of all, they've been talking about this for a while. If I can tell you clearly, the last conference call, the last earnings announcement, they said we're going to be slowing our, you know, the revenue growth is going to be slowing. And they talked about how many people are going to be hiring, which then results into lower margins. You don't have to be a rocket scientist or a mathematician or a stock analyst to know that if you're hiring 30,000 people, it's probably going to cut into your profits.
I think you should be an expert witness for Facebook.
I could do it. $1,000 an hour.
That's a little steep.
Not for Facebook. I'll even do it for one hour. I'll do it for 1 hour.
No, you know, you have to charge time and look and travel and all the rest of it.
Right. But no, seriously. So this is unbelievable that we have a world that the belief is this is the equivalent of a participation trophy. Whereas just for participating in the market, you're supposed to be making money.
Yeah, I guess. It's never worked for me.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, this is you know, the expectation that things just, you know, and again, what will happen here, it may just get dismissed. Maybe the guy will get, you know, $25,000, although that can't happen because then it'll open up to a class action.
Yeah. No, it has to be dismissed. It's stupid.
First of many lawsuits over a disappointing earnings announcement. Now, a material information that wasn't disclosed is one thing, but they do that in their quarterly calls. They're not really required to release it any time before that, are they?
I don't think so. I've never heard of such a thing. Yeah. I mean, I know about people, they get sued left and right when these stocks are flaky, but...
It's one thing if there's a material misrepresentation inside of the where you're saying, oh, we have profit of X number of dollars, and truth be told, you're losing money, or you're doing something by, you know, like an Enron style, or you're embezzling, it's terrible. And by the way, this gent who obviously lost money would be one of the few that ever lost money in Facebook.
Pretty embarrassing.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Now, Twitter also saw a slam dunk down. Twitter, this is the same exact situation. Twitter said, hey, we're getting rid of 70 or 80 million fake accounts or accounts that are inactive or idle or, you know, all these other accounts. And they said we're going to do millions more. And then everybody gets upset when they come out and they have a slowdown in daily and monthly active users.
Again, what did they expect?
Well, here's what I think. And here's what really bothers me.
Okay.
I think that these investors or investors in general these days, not all of them, but the fake news concept has brainwashed people to only believe what they want to believe. Everything else, like, that's not true probably. It's the fake news thing and the dissemination of incorrect information is so prevalent and so pervasive. I hope somebody's recording this. This is good. This is a good one. It's so it's so prevalent, so pervasive that I think people are not really paying attention to anything that's not within their basic belief. So we have this confirmation bias, which is we're only saying yes to things and agreeing with things that we believe are, you know, within our same exact understanding. And therefore, everything else is throwout. Throw out anything that is bad news. Confidence is high. Ignore everything. And what happens is you have a situation exactly what you saw with Facebook and with Twitter.
So what you're saying is that this guy, the sewer, is... He wasn't paying any attention to what they've been saying all along.
It seems like that to me. It's very clear. It's very clear. And that's why I originally shorted Facebook and why I personally shorted Twitter. Had a nice little party with that one. That was fun. But they clearly said, and maybe they tried to make it a little bit better than it was. Okay, that's their job. But they clearly said both firms... Well, different things, but that things are slowing down, that we're going to see a reduction in this. I mean, it was very clear. And if you didn't think that a drop of 70 million users on Twitter would affect something, and there's something wrong with the company that they had to purge that many bad accounts. And then when the advertiser was saying, well, how many accounts do you have and what's my reach potential? What's my audience and all that? From what it looked like before they did the purge to after they did the purge, any smart advertiser is going to look at all that and say, well, I'm going to probably have a much lower reach then. I want a better deal. I don't think we've seen the end of this on Twitter.
Well, I agree with your last analysis, but I will ask this question. If Facebook hadn't have cratered, would Twitter have moved the way it did?
Well, Twitter moved after their earnings. It wasn't necessarily due to Facebook.
That's not the question.
So you're saying that if Facebook would have held really nicely, would the ignorance be, you know, bliss type of reaction maintained itself with the Twitter earnings news also? Possibly?
I think it would.
Well, then everybody's doubly stupid. If in fact it didn't move, it would set up for even a bigger problem.
Yeah. Well, that's true.
So the point is we got to pay attention to what's going on, the information. I mean, if you think that the tariffs are not going to impact stocks and companies and prices, you're out of your mind. There is no way possible. It's just a simple equation. Higher input costs equal lower margins. And if you do not believe that that's the case, I don't even know what to say.
Buy.
Yeah. Yeah. Buy. What did I say before? Just buy for the hell of it.
Yeah. Buy for the hell of it. Yeah. It's actually phrased better than that.
All right. Apple earnings are out. Apple beat by 16 cents. Beat on revenues. Guides fourth quarter revenues above consensus. Now, there was a lot of negativity going into this quarter, a concern that there was a slowdown and nobody was buying the iPhone X or 10 or whatever they call it now. But they did report earnings of $2.34 per share, 16 cents better than the consensus. Now, I'm going to put that aside for a second because they also bought back, I don't know, $25 or $35 billion worth of their stock in the quarter. So let's put that aside and say that, okay, earnings were good, but probably pretty much propped up by some of their stock buybacks as well. That's fine. But revenues rose 17.5% year over year.
Yeah, well, that's the big, that's the real number.
Right. They beat revenues by almost $1 billion. That's pretty good. Their gross margins were 38.3 versus 38.3 estimates, a little bit lower than last year, which was 38.5. They shipped 41.3 million iPhones for the quarter versus 42 million estimates, 41 million last year. The ASP, or the average sale price of iPhones, was actually $724. Estimates were for about $694. So people are still buying pretty expensive phones here. And I, you know, by the way, to put that in perspective, that's almost like you could almost buy two laptops for that if you did a good job at finding a cheap laptop.
Yeah, and the thing about these phones is that people turn them over more than they... I mean, they turn them over like they used to turn over computers in the late 80s. Where every year you'd get a new one because a new chip came out and it was faster, and or that new peripheral came out and you needed a new operating system and faster chips. And so that was going on. It went on for a decade, kind of boom times in the PC business. And then it's all of a sudden the machines became kind of stable. You don't really need to buy a new one every year. You maybe every couple of years, maybe every 3 years. I have machines that are 4 or 5 years old.
You probably have still have like a Windows XP on one of them.
No.
No. What's your earliest far. OS?
That I actually still run?
Yeah.
It's pretty probably Vista.
Yeah. I have sevens in the office. We really don't want to change due to the fact that we're scared.
Oh, you should just go to 10. 7 stinks.
What's wrong with 10? What's wrong with 7? Runs just fine.
The drivers don't work on certain printers. They don't give a crap. There's all kinds of stuff they've disabled. It's not a very good... I don't think it's very good. I think 10 is really outstanding.
I have 10 on one of my machines in my office. We have 7 here, 7 there. I got a couple of 7s and 1 or 2 10s. Hmm. And I run... my Mac is... my laptop, which, by the way, these days I can actually, I was thinking about this, I can actually kill this whole setup here and run everything on my PC now for this, because now everything that I have, I no longer have FireWire. I use Adobe Audition for recording and for podcasts. That's good on both machines. So in theory, just like Adam did, I can go to Windows now.
Yeah, Adam bailed on this Mac. He was a Mac head. And yeah, it's all Windows stuff.
Yep. Let's go a few other things here. iPad sold 11.5 million versus 11.2 million, about in line with last year. Macs, 3.7 million versus 4.3 million estimates and 4.3 million last year. Now, here's where the big change came in. All that right there would have been, okay. You know, you saw that was a drop on the the same on iPads, a big drop on Macs. iPhones were missing the mark slightly. Margins were right in line. Here's what really went and helped them out. 31% increase in services revenue from up to $9.5 billion for the quarter for services.
Yeah.
That is a business in itself.
Well, what are their services?
You have like Apple TV related income. You have
cloud.
You have cloud. You have the
iTunes, maybe
iTunes, the music services, music streaming. You have also the App Store. I mean, there's a lot of money coming from this. Business related. So the Americas revenue is up 20%, Europe up 14%, China up 19%, Japan up 7%, and Asia Pacific in total up 16% when you combine it all. So pretty good. Pretty good numbers. So Apple is heading to an all-time high after the close. Good thing for Apple, a good thing for the markets, because if it wasn't for that, we'd see futures down, really down now, 25. Futures swung about 100 points on the tariff news, but they would probably be down 200 instead of just down 20.
Yeah, Apple's propping it up.
Yep, they're a big part of the Dow Jones Industrial Average. We'll see how that works tomorrow with the whole market, or if everybody says, it's never going to happen. This is just another bargaining chip. He's not serious. He's just using this as a negotiation tactic. Or if Mnuchin comes out tomorrow morning and said, no, you misunderstood what he was saying. U.S. conspiracy theorist Alex Jones has been suspended from Facebook for bullying and hate speech and is close to having pages tied to him and his followers and InfoWars website removed from the platform entirely. What do you think of that?
Well, you know, I watch him on and off, usually on Twitter or on his own site. I didn't even know he was on Facebook. I didn't know that he was that dependent. Let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook. But I'm wrong. And, you know, he is what he is. I mean, it's not like, I think if they take him off Facebook, there's going to be a huge blowback.
I think Google is trying to take him off YouTube as well.
That would probably be worse.
Yeah. Free speech. We should have free speech.
Free speech is free speech, but these guys don't have to give you any. I mean, there's no reason that Facebook has to post anything you want to post. I mean, they can do whatever they want.
Yeah, same. It's clear.
Both of them, YouTube, same.
To finish off on the earnings front, I think this is to finish it off, although I'll mention that Tesla's reporting tomorrow night. But Caterpillar came in with earnings. Company beat and guided better than expected. Pre-market, the stock was up 4%. Then it took all of that back, plus another 2% to the downside on a realization that some of the increase in sales was due to what I am calling the pull-forward effect.
It's probably exactly what to call it. Yeah, this theory of yours, I like it a lot.
The pull forward effect. Now, also this was at first called the pull forward theory. Now it's been renamed to the pull forward effect because it's no longer a theory. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. If you look at the GDP number.
Why don't you stop and re-explain the whole thing from scratch?
So basically there are times when individuals. Let me start with this. So there are tariffs that were being proposed. The tariffs that are being proposed weren't being put in for 30 days, 60 days, whatever the time period that was going to be rolled out. Now, those that were concerned about, all of a sudden we're going to have tariffs, it's going to cost me more for this product or that product. You know what? I don't know if these tariffs are going into play or not, but you know, I am not going to stand for paying more for this. So therefore, I'm going to go out as a business and I'm going to go buy some products now.
Stock up.
Yeah, I'm going to put that into inventory. You know, worst comes to worst, I got some excess inventory. But bottom line is I could save myself a lot of money before this whole thing goes into action. We saw this back in 2014 in a slightly different way in Japan when the retail sales tax was going to go up dramatically. And the month before the tax was actually put into place, retail sales went berserk because individuals are going out and saying, I'm not going to spend all that extra money in taxes. I'm going to buy it now and, you know, pull forward what I'm buying now so I don't have to pay the extra cost associated. So the theory was that we're going to start to see this. We're going to start to see manufacturing rising. We'll see that inventories will rise. We'll see that there's going to be a good amount of activity from an export standpoint because everybody wants to get their stuff now before this thing goes into play. So the way we were going to be able to figure this out was if we saw a big jump in exports or manufacturing numbers and see that if on the backside, because you don't know if it's just a growth factor, on the backside, if there's going to be a big slowdown and all of a sudden we see a big crash of manufacturing, a crash of exports. That's exactly what happened in Japan in 2014, the first time they raised the tax rate, and the second time they put in the subsequent increase, exactly the same thing. Big buying and then just getting, you know, rolled right over.
Crushed.
Yep. So now we saw GDP come out Friday. GDP was 4.1%. Everybody was giddy. Oh my God, this is terrific. You know, what a great number. We haven't seen this in, you know, some people are saying in decades. Fact is, we saw it a few times, 2011, 2014, 2015. We saw above 4%. But that's, you know, that's fake news. But GDP hit 4.1%. Now, what I wanted to see was, what were the components of GDP? Why was it so good? So there's a chart here. And you'll notice that on this chart, we broke out the components of GDP, the most important components: exports, private investments, government spending, and personal consumption. So you'll notice the last bar.
Well, it's a nice chart.
Thank you. The last bar that you'll notice on here is the two biggest components. We've seen personal consumption move pretty well before, back in late 2017. But we see a substantial increase, actually about a 200% increase in net exports during the quarter. That is screaming pull forward.
Yeah. Private investment is like not even on that last bar.
Yeah, it's that little bitty one on the bottom there. Nothing on private investment, which is kind of interesting also.
People yeah.
Holding back, concerned about things.
So this looks a lot like, to me, if I was just looking this over, this looks like it kind of matches the October 14th upside of the bar.
Yeah. October 13th.
What this tells me is that we didn't have 4.1%. We had 3%, which is not bad.
That's exactly right. By the way, that's exactly right. I would say 2.9% to 3%, which is fine, but not this glorious 4%. And the problem is going to be, look what happened in the same, almost the same bar, October 13th. See that? October 2013. You see that bar almost looks the same with the green a little bit lower, but how we had a big jump in consumer personal consumption and a big jump in exports. See that?
Yeah.
What happened the next quarter?
Yeah, it collapsed.
The good news about that quarter was that personal consumption stayed high. But other than that, the other components dropped right off. So there is the very high potential that we're going to see that bar and the personal consumption bar really erode dramatically in the next quarter or the quarter after that, depending on how much this
is pulled
forward.
Well, it has to be done, if it's done with any finesse, it has to be the quarter after. The next quarter has to show some, it is going to have to crack the 4% for the purposes of the election.
Right.
So they're going to have to phony something up to get
government,
that thing to
government jerk spending. Up there. So, government spending.
Okay, that would work.
Yeah, let's pop that.
Could do that. There's some trickery afoot. Mm-hmm. And then after that, then I think you'll see that February 14, or even worse, July 13, where the thing is just in the tank, looks like.
Yep. So you can see these charts, as I mentioned before, on the show notes for episode.
It's a nice chart. Everyone should look at this chart.
Thank you. Speculators raising bullish bets on the U.S. dollar, the largest position since January 2017, according to the calculation by Reuters. So I'm thinking, you know,
they're going bullish,
majorly bullish.
So they think that the dollar is going to go up in value.
Yep, it has been going up in value, but now they're doing what they've done before. It's the same thing. The crowd gets crazy. Everybody goes the same side of the boat, and we're going to look at taking the other side.
Well, that's what you do.
Yep. And I have a pick for that. That a little edgy, but we'll. It's one I've had there before. Elon Musk has come up with another interesting merchandise, piece of merchandise from Tesla. to promote his companies, right? You know, he's done.
He likes to do little things like T-shirts.
Right. Flamethrowers. This week, he came out with a new product, a $1,500 surfboard.
Yeah. So you can be, so if you're a real surfer, someone who actually lives that lifestyle, you can be ridiculed.
Yeah, I got
it. Great idea.
Well, what's going to happen? 200 were only available. That was it. So he raised $300,000. He must have a weekend cruise he wants to do or something. But here's what's interesting. 200 were available. They're all sold out. Click on that link there. There's a picture here of an eBay page that I pulled. They are ready for sale on eBay.
Oh, you mean people are already dumping them?
Yep. But look at the price.
Yeah. $5,000 for some of them.
My favorite one is the last one.
Oh, it's carbon fiber.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, please.
So it was bought for $1,500. There's one for sale for $3,999, $3,999. One for $5,000.
Yeah, that's what speculators do.
My favorite one is the last one. He's selling it for $4,950, and he's charging it $11.16 shipping.
What nerve.
Free shipping on the $5,000 one. Yeah, that's the red one. Yeah. Nah, it's not a special looking board. I don't think of it's carbon fiber, but is it worth $5,000? No,
of course not. This is just another exercise in stupidity.
Chipotle falls after report of another sick customer.
Can you believe this story?
This is unbelievable. What do you make, seriously? What do you make about this? You think it's a plant? Think it's a unseemly individual shorting the stock, or what is this?
I think it has to be something like that because it's going on all over the place, and it's the stock is very high, a good short. They never can figure out what it is.
If this is really happening without any kind of interference by some criminal
nefarious individual is the right word.
If it's not, then they need to really do something very different with their product lineup.
They're doing something wrong if this is
right.
But I'm of the opinion, especially now that you bring it up, that this is this could be just a nefarious individual or a group of investors doing this to get the stock to slide, and they're never going to figure out what it is because it's sabotage.
This reminds me of if you haven't watched Billions, there's a whole scene, a whole thing about this with Fresh Juice. That is the same setup, and maybe that's why the writers picked up on that.
Maybe. Mm. But it's very suspicious at this point.
Yep. All right. Bitcoin. Bitcoin was up over 8,000, dropped down again. And there was a story in the National Bureau of Economic Research, a piece they wrote that says the cryptocurrency's vulnerability to attack means it's destined to play no more than a bit role in the global monetary system. A new study shows. It says that this thing can happen.
Hence the word Bitcoin.
Yeah. Bit, little bitty. I just finished today, actually, it's going up for this weekend. I had a discussion with a Bitcoin evangelist. Have you heard of that? Bitcoin evangelist.
Yeah, I can imagine there's probably more than a few.
Yeah. And he gave me some interesting insight. We kind of went around in a lot of philosophical discussions about the reason for people wanting Bitcoin and loving Bitcoin and the whole thing. It was kind of interesting. The Winklevoss twins also attempted to get Bitcoin, an ETF that holds Bitcoin approved, and it was rejected.
Good.
Now, here's going to be a public service discussion we're going to have here. Pay attention to this. Procter & Gamble, which is the maker of Charmin toilet paper, Bounty towels, Puffs tissues, said on Tuesday that it recently began notifying retailers of a 5% average price increase on all three brands of toilet paper and papers. Here's my question. Why are we still using toilet paper and why are we not switching to bidets? So I looked up what are the benefits of bidets?
Why don't you buy one of those Japanese toilet seats?
I have two. I have them in my house. The best.
For some reason, I'm not surprised. The best.
They're the best. They are. First of all, let me give you some benefits here. Conserving waste and saving the earth.
A bidet. You know, before you go on with this.
Yeah.
I will start off by saying I'm suspecting this is another one of your screwball kind of, we can't call it a fetish because it's got nothing to do with sex. It's just a preoccupation like with the bare feet at the airport. Very similar. You just get hung up on these things, and this is the new barefoot at the airport one.
I have had in my house for the last
three.
I've had in my house for the last 3 years these washlets, they call them, and everybody that uses them loves them.
Sure.
So first of all, the benefits.
Cost, by the way, what do they cost?
I found some under $300, and I put a link on the website for your benefit.
Yes, but then again, you still have to have them plumbed, don't you?
No, you do not. No, they run right off the same water from the tank. Hmm. And you just need a plug. Now, you can get the ones that are plumbed. These toilets go up to like $5,000 or $6,000 a piece. The Totos with the fully integrated thing, with the music, with the misting and all that stuff. I'm talking about the baseline, just a little cleanliness for the Totos.
It's just a little scrubbing device.
It doesn't really scrub. It just...
And whatever you do, don't push the button that says RT.
RT?
Remove tampon.
Oh, God. Well, at least us men shouldn't. Some of these you walk up to, they open up, they light up, they mist, they do all these things. And in Japan, they're very, very popular. They do. In Japan, they're very popular. You got to look at the videos.
They're also very popular in China, turns out.
Yeah. Well, as long as, you know, if it's either a hole in China or something nice.
Yeah.
But here's some of the benefits. They conserve waste and saving the earth. Bidet is much less stressful in the environment than conventional toilet paper. Increase cleanliness. There's a lot of places around the world that I've been to that do not have toilet paper in the bathroom. They have a hose. They think that using toilet paper is the most
disgusting. Name one place.
The Philippines.
Okay.
They think that using toilet paper is the most disgusting thing ever. There's a therapeutic effect on the skin, septic-friendly system, and cost-effective and easy to use. Anyway, check it out. I think you can make back your money in about a year, a family of four with one bidet. Mm. And... in order to fund our bidet madness.
But you're calling the toilet seat a bidet.
It's the toilet seat that has all this stuff in it.
Yeah, but a true bidet is a separate device.
Right, a bidet, a true bidet is, and shoots straight up. It's like, it looks like a water fountain.
Yeah.
You see those in Europe mainly. But this is a washlet. You got to see how they work. They're very good. They're very clean. Regular bidets, I have no time for. Disgusting. If you've gotten any information about the show, if you could stand to listen to us anymore. I try to bring some interesting things here and there, you know. Donate to the show and you can get a free shirt. Did you get the shirt I sent you?
Yes, shirt came in and Jay is decorating the envelope.
Oh, beautiful. You can get a shirt with a decorated envelope signed
but
by myself.
Not always the envelope. She won't always do them, but she's been doing the last few.
Okay, well, hopefully. Be one of the last ones to get maybe a decorated envelope and a signed shirt by myself and John. The cost of the show, $418 we're on, $418. Go over to the donation button. If you haven't donated, if you did take our idea maybe last week in short Twitter, if you've been thinking about, you know, maybe giving back to all that we give, go over to the donate button on dhunplugged.com. Click the button, put in the number 418, put in your shirt size in the comments section, and we'll send it right off to you.
Well, it takes about a week or so. Yeah. First, you have to sign it and you got to send it to me and it gets decorated and I got to sign it and send it off. It's a few days.
This is about the time that we talk about Fed limericks, which we're not doing. So I'm just letting you know for all those people that have been complaining, fetching, emailing me and writing me about I'm so sad here and there. But, you know, everything has a time. We do want to announce the winner for American Airlines close to the pin.
Yeah.
It's the winner. The final price was $39.63. The winner, Alan S. And Alan S., if you're listening, you have not sent me your address or your shirt size yet. So he came in 32 cents away, 80.81% off. Calvin L. was the runner-up, about 1.818% off. I was 6% off. I was like right on for a few days, and then stock went, I guess, bananas. And you were 13% off. So
we, oh, yeah, I was way off.
We both sucked.
I never had a feeling for it.
Mm. Let's see here. Oh, I got some other interesting things here. New York City is moving forward to becoming the first major U.S. municipality to cap ride-sharing programs, sparking a tsunami of protests from Uber. The council is considering five bills aimed primarily at reducing traffic congestion. I've seen city studies that the fact that there are ride-sharing, Ubers, Lyfts, etc., 20% at least increase in cars on the road. So they're trying to...
increase?
Yeah.
Huh.
20% increase. They're just sitting around all day waiting for rides.
Mm.
The reason for this is they want to increase driver paychecks, and in a wake of explosive growth of for-hire vehicles, this is the big part of the story right now, and a rash of suicides among financially challenged yellow taxi drivers.
Jeez. Oh, it's because of those medallions they paid so much for.
Yeah, they paid $1 million for a medallion. It's worth $300. And you can't get rid of it anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a bad news situation.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know that China is on the cutting edge of, like, you know, all sorts of technology and, you know, interesting things, right? And they're a little bit, sometimes you could say that they have some, you think I have little fetishes or issues or whatever you want to call it. Let's go to China and talk, okay? But the country is moving into artificial intelligence. And one of the big things is they're trying to embed the technology in all facets of life. And some Chinese entrepreneurs are now taking that to the next level into sex dolls.
Yeah.
The WM Doll, one of China's biggest sex doll makers, which is based in the southeast province of Guangdong, launched what it calls AI-powered dolls at the end of 2016. And you can buy these for, you know, you do the various appearance options, et cetera, anywhere from $1,500 to $7,500. But I put some pictures on the site of these. The first pictures of a sex doll. I mean, the head's on backwards, obviously, but look at that.
Yeah, both these are the same picture.
They are? Sorry. I had the factory there. I screwed that up. The factory is pretty amazing. It looks like a giant, it's just beds with all these sex dolls. There's men and women, male and female.
Yeah.
What do you think of this?
Well, the real doll phenomenon was an American thing. They're still in business. They're making smart dolls now, the same sex dolls that can talk and wiggle
Why
around.
Why would you want a sex doll that can talk?
Apparently some people want, I don't know.
Whisper
I have no
sweet
idea.
Nothing's
I don't want
in my ear.
Doll.
I mean, what you know, a little verbal foreplay? I mean, how does that work?
You're asking the wrong guy.
Well, I'm going to China and I'm thinking about looking this place up.
Oh, you should definitely, if you could go visit a place like this, I'd definitely do it.
How great would that be?
That'd be fantastic. You can take some photos and report back.
If I do go there, I'm going to make you buy an iPhone so we can FaceTime.
can't you use FaceTime with other phones?
No.
Hmm.
Okay. Let's see here. California's top state court said on Thursday that employers must pay their workers for small amounts of time spent on work tasks after clocking out, in a ruling that would likely lead to a revival of a lawsuit against Starbucks. So I guess people clock out and the employer makes them do more work?
I have no idea. Stupid. I didn't know this was going on. It should be illegal. It's dumb.
Stupid. And real quickly, identity theft protection firm LifeLock was hacked.
Yeah.
May have exposed customers to an additional attack from ID thieves and phishers. The company just fixed a vulnerability on the site that allowed anyone with a web browser to index email addresses associated with millions of customer accounts or unsubscribe users from all communication from the company, which that's not a big deal. So the problem is that they can now spoof them and they know what their numbers are. And anyway, terrible. With that, do we go through what you're writing for PC Magazine entirely or...
No, I can still mention it because you have some ideas, thinking that I'm doing this and that, but I'm not. What my complaint was about Facebook and whether they're getting themselves into trouble is that I also attribute this to Google, who I think invented the idea, and Twitter, which is they don't have public relations people anymore. They don't even have a press office. It's always send an email to these guys, press@google.com, and they never get back to you. I mean, you can if you ask a complicated question, and there's nobody to talk to. They don't have all the companies and Facebook's included. They don't have customer service either. Is there a number you can call when you have like some issue?
No.
You do with Microsoft, you can call, although I think Microsoft's going to start looking at this and say, well, maybe why are we having customer service? Screw it. What else are people going to buy? It's a very arrogant kind of Silicon Valley idea. It saves money. Doesn't save that much for a multi-billion dollar company. And what you saw happen to the Facebook stock, I think, was a result of the inability to put the kibosh on it. You know,
you don't think that the investor relations has a...
Where was that? Who's the investor relations person that's helped stop the stock slide?
I don't know, but let's take a look. I'm going to look at Facebook investor relations. Facebook investor relations home. Okay, press releases, education, newsroom, removing bad actors, additional links, something you have to enter, create a page, about, company financial, stock information, corporate guidance, governments, let's go to the about, maybe the about. No, that's this Facebook page. Nope, you're right. Not even on the investor relations page. Is there an investor?
No person.
Nope. That's terrible.
Yeah. Now you wonder what the stock goes flying around every which way. They can't stabilize it. They got nobody, no front. Who's supposed to be? Is it Zuck that's supposed to be speaking for the company when these things happen? Because it's like a little small company. This is a multi-billion dollar company. You can't have the CEO talking about anything. He should be working.
Well, this is the new paradigm where everything's online and everybody trusts everything. And, there's no further. It's just a headline driven world. That's all we're entitled to get.
Very well, simple. It does. It stinks.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to change anytime soon, my friend.
No, as long as it keeps working and nobody bitches about it.
Right.
I mean, I'm the only one complaining about it.
You know, maybe they'll do something. Maybe they'll read your. Maybe Zuck.
No. They're not going to do anything. Nothing. I've been complaining about Google's inability to put a press person forward or have a name for at least almost 10 years, and it's like, so what? The guy just bitches about stuff.
Right.
Don't pay any attention to him.
Well, on that note, let's go over to the game, the weekly stock picks, where we talk about some ideas that we have, some plays that we may be looking at, some interesting stock ideas from a variety of different angles. This is a game we play. It's not an offer to buy or sell any security. It is not a recommendation. If, in fact, whatever reason you decide that you want to play along, please do your own research and, of course, get professional financial advice. John C. Dvorak, myself, Horowitz Company clients, may own any of the stocks that we talk about here, and we will duly note that. In addition, over on DH Unplugged, if you haven't done this yet, you need to do this. First, you need to donate. Then you need to go over there. You need to go to the weekly stock picks. It's a live ticking update of all the stocks that are currently open, the ones that are closed, the thesis, during market hours, it obviously gives you an update of exactly the performance and the stop levels and all that. So there you go. I have one pick.
Okay.
Did you see that article I sent you about something about insiders I sent you?
I don't remember it, maybe.
Yeah.
I'll have to go back and look in your box.
I'm picking gold. I'm picking the three-time gold miners again.
I like the idea of gold right now.
I think it's interesting. If you look at the chart, there's some bottoming going on in the one time. When we do technical analysis of the gold miners and we want to buy a triple gold miner for the game, the triple gold miner position, we don't use the technical analysis, the charts from the triple. We use the technical analysis from the single. And then if we like it, we'll buy the triple.
Mm. So you like it.
Yeah. So I'm buying Nugget, NUGT, with a 15% stop.
Okay.
And you, Sylph?
I get nothing.
Nothing?
No, nothing.
I sent you something. I
jump on the Nugget with you, but I don't, I think gold's still got a few, could go further lousy. I see that I got stopped out of Facebook, but I still had a healthy profit.
Huge profit, 29.75%.
Macy's got kicked. They got kicked. That was yours, I think. You got kicked. It was short, and it just never performed. But you ended up with 2%, so it's at least you didn't lose anything. My Starbucks has got kicked, another kicked, and I ended up with a 5% gain. But, you know, it was the General Electric, which was yours, was a buy, and it got kicked, and you lost money. That's our only real loss on the list.
We just cannot get this GE going. We've tried. How many times have we tried to buy GE?
I think both between the two of us, I think it has to be a half dozen times.
It just doesn't work. Doesn't work. Maybe a wider stop.
I don't think it's just like it's like dead money. This thing.
Yep. Did you see that? My last week's pick.
That was of course your Twitter short. You nailed. That's like the home run of the month.
Mm-hmm.
You last week's pick. Boom, up 25% just on a quick short.
Yeah, we got some healthy gains here on both sides.
Notice though, was this yours? I thought it was my pick. The Walgreens Boots Alliance.
That's you. Oh, that's you. That's you. That's you. I got to put this back. I got to make it gray. You're correct.
This is my. You have these favorites, Green Mountain. And this is my, I keep going to the well with this thing.
Yep. Up 3%. Crawling back. Clawing its way back to profitability.
Yeah.
That's good. All right, we're going to end it there. Good. And I'll see you in 2 weeks. And I'll keep you in the loop on what's going on in Asia.
Okay. It sounds like you're going to have a good time.
All right. Thanks.
All right,
you've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.